Mercedes-Benz Oakville is offering 0% finance rates for 60 months on all remaining 2014 C-Class demonstrators, plus three payments waived. The Mercedes-Benz Oakville demonstrator sale is on now until October 31st. Winner of the Star Dealer Award for an unprecedented fourth year in a row, Mercedes-Benz Oakville delivers an award-winning sales and service experience. Experience the difference for yourself at QEW and Dorval Drive in Oakville or at mboakville.ca.
This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, I've got to be honored hosting the number one hockey radio show in Canada. It's, of course, Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison here for the cast of thousands that are just making their way back from Columbus or still stuck in Columbus as we hear about the storms that are hitting around the northeastern seaboard and other areas in North America. Of course, Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet, the Sportsnet Radio Network, and in the United States on the NHL Network. And Scott, in doing this introduction yesterday, three goals would have been scored at the All-Star game in that period of time.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of All-Star games over the years, and not to this one, and can't say that I was overly disappointed. But yeah, there was a ton of offense, and you know, the ongoing battle goes on is what do you do with these weekends? And I think you just accept them for what they are, is that, you know, it's a showcase of the greatest talent that's exists in the National Hockey League, and you're never going to have intensity, but you're going to have a lot of creativity and a lot of offense, and you accept it for what it is.
Well, 11 games back in the National Hockey League schedule tomorrow, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the All-Star weekend as well, and Darren Millard, the normal host of Hockey Central at noon.
He's not normal, by the way.
He's the usual host. The usual host. And among those that had to make flight alterations, because while they were scoring goals, apparently snow was falling at the same rate the goals were scoring in Columbus, Ohio. Just landed back in Toronto. Darren joins us to kick things off. And, you know, Darren, first, before we talk about the game, the experience, I know being to All-Star weekends, if you're there, it's a lot of fun. What did you take out of the weekend beyond being busy?
One thing that that became very clear early in the weekend on Friday night with the fantasy draft was you had 19 first-timers at this All-Star weekend, and there's that significant turnover from the last number of All-Star games. So you had a lot of guys that had never experienced before and really embraced it and were looking forward to it and were excited about it. And I thought that this group in 2015 was as fun and let themselves go more than any other group that we've seen, and that spilled over into the skills competition on Saturday as well.
Well, I have two burning questions, and I think they're on the minds of everybody who watched the festivities of the weekend. Number one, what was in the cups on Friday night? And number two, did you get a cup?
No, but I was offered one on several occasions. The players were very gracious with that in making sure that that we were at least offered some hydration.
It was nice because a lot of personality came out on Friday night. Obviously a relaxed group.
It wasn't a cash bar, obviously.
No, exactly. No, yeah. But it was nice to see the personalities coming out.
I'd never been to a skill or a fantasy draft before, and then being able to be offered the privilege of hosting it with Catherine, it was really different. The guys were great. The captains talked to them just before the draft and just told them, like, you guys can't beak each other enough. Like, don't be afraid that you're getting in the way of the show at all. This is all about you. And boy, did they respond to that. And Getzlaf and Doughty went back and forth all night. If you caught 10% of what they were saying to each other, and Jonathan Toews, for a guy that has won so much and has this incredible reputation of being so serious, absolutely peeled back the onion and gave us a much different look inside Jonathan Toews, the person. And I thought for a guy that's obviously been front and center for so long in the National Hockey League, I thought we saw a much different side and a new side and a fun side of Jonathan Toews. And that's one of the real things that I'll take away from this weekend is that kind of exposure.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we saw it throughout the weekend. Even, you know, Sunday Scott Oak interviewed him and he was having fun with that and whatnot. I just want to get back because a few of my friends, and I was out with the various minor hockey people over the weekend because we had our All-Star festivities here with the
Is this at your friends at the lodge, the assisted living place that you live at?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the seniors. but there were people who are still Leaf fans, amazingly enough, but that were quite put off by the whole Phil Kessel thing. I found it wildly amusing and entertaining. What was the take there with what happened, you know, with Kessel being drafted, I guess, second overall, first by Taze's team, and then the trade with Tyler Seguin?
Well, I think a lot of people want to look at Phil Kessel and when he was drafted last in Carolina and thought there might have been something at work there. That was pre-race. The players were sticking it to him and trying to make a point. And that got around to a few different guys. And this group acknowledged that and didn't want him sitting there twisting in the wind. They know that he's not the most comfortable person in the spotlight. And they went out of their way to get him drafted early, second overall pick, and make sure that didn't happen. But I think the comments by Jonathan Toews were an acknowledgement that he's had a challenging year on and off the ice. But also, I think it was a show of respect for him that they kind of got it out there. And in that group, if they're beating you in that group, it's a sign that you're accepted. It's not one of those ones where they're making fun of you because they don't like you. That was a pretty interesting young group, and Patrick Kane and Phil Kessel are very close. So I thought it was more out of respect to get him away from any talk of going last overall like Carolina, because there was those whispers. What happens if Phil Kessel goes last again? Because he'd been there. Logan Couture went last the last time, so Kessel was the only guy that could repeat that. And then the trade, I thought, was absolute genius in having some fun. And it came really out of nowhere. That wasn't prearranged going into it that they would do something like that. Kane wanted Kessel on his team, so just said, let's, because we were pushing them to make a trade. Everybody wanted to see a trade in this thing for the first time. And they came up with that themselves. And I don't know whether it was Getzlaff or Nash, but they kind of clicked in that those two had been traded before and thought it would be funny. And the players themselves got the biggest kick out of that trade. Phil looked kind of uncomfortable, but Tyler jumped all over it and was giving the answers that you would give after a regular trade, and they bit in. But I don't think that there's anything untoward with the Phil Kessel situation this weekend. I think if anything, it was a positive for him.
Darren Millar joining Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison, Hockey Central at noon. Darren, just back from Columbus and the NHL All-Star Game, and you know, Friday was something that really worked, and we're always looking for a way to get insight and mic up players in any sport and have it work. Curling's a great example how it works in a lot of ways. And I thought Friday, as you say, and it's the younger kids that really like it, but I think it really had appeal, much more broad appeal than we anticipated because of the way it came out. Let's go to Sunday, though, in the game. And I'm just curious, feedback. I mean, 17-12, 29 goals in 60 minutes of play. It's kind of what I remember and expect. I just don't remember the defense being that accommodating. I don't know. I wonder if that drafting might work for the skills competition, but do you go back to something like North America versus Europe like it was for a while? I mean, or what's people's feedback from a game that was a little bit out of hand?
Well, I mean, I watched all around the building, three or four different places yesterday, and got a feel from the fans' point of view and the production truck, and then with our group upstairs, and the sentiment was unanimous. It's not the most enjoyable game to watch, but then you get to what can you do with it? And I don't think there's anything you can do with it. The All-Star game is what it is. Are you going to give them somebody saying today Rolex watches or the cash bonus? Well, they've done that before, and it didn't make any difference. You're not going to get a scrum. You're not going to get body checks. It's not going to happen. And it's tough for all of us until you accept that it is what it is. And the game, well, it's the culmination of the weekend, and it's supposed to be the high point, really is down the pecking order. I thought the skills competition was the best skills competition and skills show that I've seen in the 20 years that's been around, with the tweaks that they did with the fastest skater and the creativity that we saw some of the guys. Not all those tricks worked in the breakaway challenge, but I thought that they put some, instead of just putting the stick between their legs every time and then shooting it, there was some thought put into it and some reaction and coming up with stuff on the fly. So I thought that was a great part in the fantasy draft. And so of the three events that you saw on the weekend, two I thought were really, really well done and came off really well. But the game is just going to be what it is. And it's a looser game of shinny, if you can describe it that way. And we just have to accept it. And until you accept it, you're just going to be frustrated.
But Darren, there have been better games, though, even in this format. There's been better games. I think 3 years ago was a better game. Maybe marginally, but I thought it was.
But by how much?
I said maybe marginally. I don't know. I just found
there was no defensive try.
Goaltending could be better.
Thought the defense could be more engaged. That was thing that struck out.
They weren't. They had no interest in. It wasn't like they just said, I'm not going to back check. So they went into it. I'm not going to back check. I'm not going to do anything. It was as loose as. And then I'll also say, they were ready to go home. Like, All-Star weekend has turned into 6 days, 5-6 days for a lot of these guys. And I think that they were just ready to get out of town as well.
Well, the debate has gone on for 40-odd years about what you do with this.
Scotty, if you could get away with doing the draft and the skills competition, I would do away with the game. That has the least amount of appeal to me, but you're never going to do that. And the tickets, you know what the tickets cost to go to something like that, you guys. Mm-hmm. And you watch that. It's just, I don't know what the solution is beyond making it. If you wanted to make it, Ellie Friedman came up with an idea, under 27, over 27. I might go 24 and under and 24 and over to try and widen your choices a little bit more for the older guys. But
the bottom line, there isn't a solution because there's no interest.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to give you a better game either.
No.
Do you have the Stanley Cup champions against a bunch of All-Stars? The Stanley Cup champions sure aren't going to play hard because they're probably in a battle for a playoff spot like the LA Kings are right now, and those guys don't necessarily want to all go to the All-Star game because they've gone late into the playoffs and they commonly want to go recharge their battery. So I'd like to have a solution for you. And I've talked to a lot of people this weekend from the middle of yesterday where that thing started getting out of hand, and nobody's come up with a definitive plan that I could say, yeah, that'll work. It's just not there.
No, I don't think there is one. I don't think there is a solution because there's not an appetite. And as I said, we've been debating this and discussing this for 40-some-odd years.
So why don't we accept this?
Exactly. It is what it is, and that's what I said to Gord off the top of the show, is that it's never going to be intense, but it can be creative, and it could
be... So why is Gord being so difficult on this, then?
I'm just being constructive. I'm just saying about...
Well, it sure doesn't sound constructive.
The game in Toronto years ago was North America against the world, or even you do the under over 27, as you mentioned, that maybe you draft the players for the skills competition because you got two events that work, and then the other thing, you put a little bit of... little bit of bite into the team you're on that way. Because I got to agree with you, by Sunday, because they do a great job over the weekend, guys are tired, and they've been given it. So I understand
and the only way you get some intensity and some care is if Team Taze plays Team Foligno and the losing team has to pay the other team $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Then you get some try.
You know what you get there? You get four guys willing to go to the game.
Hey, want to ask you just on the hockey
side. Yeah, exactly.
First of all, two quick hockey questions. So one, I'm just Elliot Friedman tweet that we'll talk about in a sec. But, okay, if you had to invite five guys Friday back for a party, who are the first five you pick of that group if you're trying to get a good party going?
A good party going? I would say Ovi. Mm-hmm. He might be the only.
But you got to give him a car.
Yeah. Boy, was he entertaining at that as the night went on. I would say Drew Doughty. For sure. He had a ton of fun. Ryan Getzlaf was a blast. And Ryan Johansson was fun with that that night, and Dustin Byfuglien.
Okay. Now, the other one, just, of course, a cast of many.
Four of those five were all on Foligno's team.
So that's
just for what
well,
that's
you know
worth.
What, you know,
and they lost.
Dowdy went into the draft saying, I'm not, as the alternate captain helping out Nick Foligno, so I have no interest in drafting for hockey, from a hockey perspective or skill perspective. I want to draft guys who either I don't know but have heard good things about and are fun to hang out with, or guys that I know and are going to be fun to hang out with in the dressing room and the various events we go. It was all about off ice for those guys and having fun with Dowdy's perspective. That's why he's coming to my party.
Well, okay, your party will be off ice. Looks like a lot of talk will be off ice as we count down to the NHL trade deadline and in the boardrooms and general manager's offices for a number of weeks. Now, Elliot Friedman apparently just tweeting Mike Richards on waivers. So I don't, you know, we've heard all kinds of talk about different things. I don't know what kind of move. I don't see any point sending him to the minors, whatever it may be, but maybe talk about as business goes and the LA Kings, who would like to win another Stanley Cup. They're trying to figure a few things out, and what you think their strategy is about Mike Richards.
Well, they've tried to move him, and I know that that there was talk between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the LA Kings regarding a deal that would involve a lot of cash going either way. And the LA Kings need a defenseman, and Dion Phaneuf would fit in that. And he's got some experience with Daryl Sutter, and they think that that is a trade that would work. Toronto and LA couldn't come to an agreement on that deal. But Richards has been moved around the league and in dangled out there. He's got 5 years left on the contract, and right now the LA Kings have to make some decisions to improve their roster and add a defenseman, and the only way to do that is to try and get rid of that money. And if he's on waivers, they haven't been able to do it, obviously.
Well, we'll get back to more hockey talk. Of course, you'll be back in the seat tomorrow. I take it. I know Carey Price said they're snowed in Columbus. Bill Daly snowed in. So the stuff we didn't realize as there was raining goals inside the arena, it was raining snow outside the arena.
Can it rain snow?
Yeah,
it can.
Wet snow. Yeah.
Just a quick question before we let you go, Darren. What was the players' reaction to the format of the World Cup? Because listening to Gord's show over the weekend, there was a lot of positive and negatives, obviously, about the formats and the teams and all that sort of structure.
By and large, very positive. They know what the exposure of the under 23 means with this year's draft. And what those players will bring to the tournament, and the focus on that, and the idea of can a group of kids under 23 really compete? So I think a lot of them are really curious to see whether or not kids can challenge some of the best teams and countries in the world. And as far as the All-Star European team, same thing in the sense that it gives some players an opportunity to not just participate internationally. Like Andy Kopitar, but maybe have a chance to have some success. And I think that's what they're not just going to be there as the middle square on the bingo card anymore, but they might have a chance to because of the compilation of an all-star European team, to win and maybe get to a semifinal or if things really come together, a championship game. So I think in talking to a couple of players about that, they're excited to see. They're excited for some of their teammates to participate and actually have a chance to have some success.
I could really see that under 23 team becoming the one that people latch on to.
Well,
yeah,
because they're going to be fun.
The only thing I will say is goaltending. That might be the one place where they might have a little bit of trouble competing. But yeah, I agree. The team that you cheer for, the underdog, will be that under 23 or that all-star team.
Well, that's what I was talking about with the All-Star game as well. But we'll let you go. We're just excited to have you on.
Gord, calm down now. We're good. We're all good here.
And we've got our World Cup back, and we've got our Darren Millard back. Thanks for hopping on.
Boy, when you toss a tantrum, you really go hard, eh?
That's
it,
yeah.
You don't leave anything.
Yeah, I've learned from the best, Darren.
Yeah.
A lunch bag letdown.
That's it. Darren Millard joining us, of course, though. He'll be back tomorrow hosting Hockey Central at noon and was a part of the coverage on the weekend. Okay. So I do want to talk about Mike Richards and the World Cup, but my philosophy about the game I think is worth trying on the Sunday that I think yesterday showed. The draft is great. use them for the skills competition. Mm-hmm. And then after that, have that, just as you talked about, whether it's under 23 versus over 23, under 25 versus over 25. Even years ago when the game was here in Toronto, I thought it was a better game, Team North America against Team Europe. I mean, it still was an all-star game. There were no hits. There were whatever. Mm-hmm. But at least a little bit of some kind of identity that way.
Yeah, I don't disagree that maybe there's a tweaking. But as I say, over the years, they've tried everything, and it only pushes the needle so far. And it's always going to be what it's going to be. And to your point, that you're not going to – Wendell Clark threw the last body check in all-star game history in 1986.
That's right, in Hartford. And got told on the bench, we don't play this way.
Yeah, exactly.
He got told right away.
And the players, and understandably so, they don't want another intense game on their calendar. I think over the years we've seen some neat things that have fallen into the all-star break. Obviously, in recent years it's been the Olympics taking over, and then – we had Rendezvous 87 and the NHL Challenge and
lockouts.
Lockouts, of course. But, yeah, I mean, they don't want and don't need and shouldn't have to play another intense game. But there was a margin that they probably could have taken it
that
up
was
a
my
little
point.
Bit yesterday.
That was my
especially,
point.
There was just no try on the defense.
Well, the
side.
Defense aren't going to win the car either. Like, you know, you do have pride and want to be an MVP. The goaltenders are outstanding. I can see why now they only play one period and are probably happy to do that. And then you've got forwards, whether it's John Tavares or others, that are put on a show, and really it's their little party to be the MVP, which has some cachet to it. But anyway, that was it. 17-12, Team Taves.
What did you think of the uniform?
Over Team Foligno.
It's funny because I turned, after the NHL game ended, I put on the Pro Bowl, and they had the same uniforms.
I know. And they've got the same format. I mean, they've mimicked
the
NHL's format about drafting teams, and that's why I'm saying about not losing that. I know they always want to make the uniforms different, so I'm okay with that.
Oh, you
know,
yeah,
I'm okay. And who was it? Dustin Byfuglien wore white skates. Did someone have white skates on?
I think he had the skates that had that sort
of white and green kind
green,
of thing.
Yeah.
He had the neon green and the white and all that. And he certainly isn't hard to notice anyway, whatever color. He's a big
having
dude.
Having a great year.
Having a fabulous year with the Winnipeg Jets. Just at the end, we talked about Elliot Friedman tweeting Mike Richards apparently being on waivers. And, okay, it's one thing to try to move him everywhere in the league. I cannot believe the LA Kings would be contemplating sending him to the American Hockey League. This would give him that option because all you save is, what, $975 mm-hmm. off the salary cap. You don't wipe off the whole close to $5 million or whatever it may be.
No, it's interesting that they've gone this route. And obviously we all know that there was extensive conversations, Toronto being one of them, and whatever other teams to see what the interest was in Mike Richards. And I think the tough thing is he's a great fit on that LA team. And you hate to see, you know, it all becomes the economics of the matter. It's and less about what the player contributes and what, and more about what the number is on the paycheck. And, you know, you see that big ticket and playing on a fourth line, and it speaks to the depth of your organization. But when you have the void that they have on the blue line right now and the Voinov situation, one obviously they couldn't have predicted going in, and some of the other departures that they've had on the blue line, that's become a huge pressing need for them. But and that's a salary that suddenly becomes less of a bonus of having that depth up front and more of a burden from a financial perspective. But, you know, when they talked about the potential of Phaneuf to Richards swap and whatever else that might have been involved, the problem for any team that would take Mike Richards back is that if you're a decent enough team, he's not going to be your number one center, but he's making number one center money. And where do you slot him in? Because all of a sudden you've got the same dilemma, don't you, Gord, with that LA has.
Well, absolutely. And it's, you know, Bobby Hulik, who did a little bit of media with us back in our Hockey Night in Canada radio days. And he had the great line that he signed a monster contract with the New York Rangers, what, $9 million a year. And as he said, if I am your number three center, like in New Jersey, you're probably going to win a Stanley Cup. If I'm your number one center, you're probably not going to make the playoffs. If I'm your number two center, we'll be competitive, but not a Stanley Cup winner. And that's
a great comparable.
It was. And he was being honest about himself. And the only thing this does about Mike Richards now, it's obviously whether it's the Maple Leafs and the discussion, whether it was the Phaneuf contract coming back or whatever it may be. LA now has said, you know what, guys? He is out there. Any team now Okay, any team can dive in and claim him and speak up for now and forever hold your peace, because once whatever happens, he's off waivers or what, you can't anymore. You have to deal through the team.
It's going to be dollar for dollar.
Yeah,
after
so
that.
Obviously the Kings were trying to work something, but also saying now, okay, you want to get in, you got to get in the deep end of the pool. You got him. You got his contract, and it doesn't cost you anything. And hoping that one of the 29 other teams are willing to do that.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens this time tomorrow.
Yeah.
As he goes through the process.
We will find out. And again, as we count down the NHL trade deadline, that'll be a lot of the talk over the next 5 weeks. We'll be looking forward to that. Look forward to when it ends as well, because I like starting honing in on the playoffs and enough of the trade talk. But it's going to be hot and heavy, fast and furious. We'll come back. We'll chat a little bit more about that. Also, Max Domi will be joining, scheduled to join us. Of course, great season with the London Knights. Looking forward to an NHL career with the Arizona Coyotes as well.
Well, on a skills weekend, he showed off some skills in a game activity. I mean, it was just
situation.
Amazing play.
So the highlight reel goal on Friday night as well kicked off the skills competition around the hockey world. He'll be joining us when we come back. You're listening to Hockey Central at Noon and watching Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison on Sportsnet, the Sportsnet Radio Network, and in the United States on the NHL Network.
Hockey Central at Noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back. Hockey Central at Noon. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millar. We chatted with him a little bit earlier. He'll be back hosting this show tomorrow, just back from Columbus. And the NHL All-Star Game, Scott Morrison also here. Of course, Hockey Central at Noon, watching on Sportsnet, listening on the Sportsnet Radio Network, and in the United States on the NHL Network. A reminder, the American Hockey League All-Star Game. And that's always quite a spectacle in that it's an all-star format, but guys trying to make an impact for NHL scouts that are in attendance. That will be on the airwaves tonight on Sportsnet.
Sounding like the weather's really getting nasty along the eastern seaboard, and folks trying to get out of Columbus having a horrible time, and there may be some games in jeopardy over the next, well, obviously no NHL games tonight, but some thought that the storms in Philly and New York and that whole area could certainly jeopardize some basketball games tonight, and we'll see what impact it has.
Yeah,
on
one canceled
world.
Tonight, I think, in Brooklyn already tonight, and then we heard we're trying to get Bill Daly on, but he's stuck in Columbus. Carey Price's wife has tweeted they're stuck in Columbus as far as the flights go. So, it was the one thing Darren Millar did say as we talked about the All-Star Game constructively. It's a long weekend for the guys, and probably a lot of guys, knowing the weather yesterday, you really want to get out. You know what it's like, right? And,
absolutely.
And some of them have not
would
been
able to. Would
have
wanted to have left right after the game.
Yeah.
And I remember the All-Star game, and trying to think where it was now, but Pavel Bure left halfway through the third period.
Well, it used to happen in the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl on the National Football League side, they had guys booking out of Hawaii like in the third quarter. So Pavel Bure took a page out of that. Max Domi, expecting him to join us in a couple minutes' time, but we...
And there's certain areas of Florida, I'm told via email that...
So you're doing weather stuff?
Oh, there's weather everywhere today, Gordon. It's windy on some of the beaches, so people have retreated to sports bars to watch us.
That's good?
Yes. Oh, okay. It's all good.
Yeah. I guess old colleagues and that.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
Probably asking...
Very old colleagues, actually.
Well, probably asking the bartender to change the channel to something else, and they can watch their British show or Coronation Street or something like that. We mentioned Mike Richards on waivers. He's got 5 years after this season left at a cap hit of $5.75 million. And as well, we certainly know Sergei Bobrovsky was very disappointed, to say the least, not being able to play in his hometown for the All-Star game, but also injury updates on a couple of guys.
Yeah, well, goalie Bob went down with what looked like a groin injury, and that's been confirmed now, and the Blue Jackets saying that he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. So that's the team that's been absolutely devastated this season with injuries. We've seen a lot of teams, some battle through. Winnipeg did a great job with the four defense out and still finding a way to win games, but some teams have been absolutely devastated by it, and they've been one of them, and we're back on the right track and making some headway, making a push to the playoffs, but you have to think that could spell the end for Columbus unless they somehow find a way to rise above that. And then the other bad news from an injury perspective, just before the All-Star break, Kevin Bieksa of the Vancouver Canucks got in the way of a Victor Hedman shot. And ironic, because Hedman had a similar thing happen to him earlier in the season where he was injured blocking a shot, and Bieksa having to have surgery on his hand and wrist, and the Canucks saying that he could be gone 6 to 8 weeks. So after they just get healthy on the blue line and get Hamhuis back, now they lose Bieksa. So a big loss for the Canucks.
Yeah, huge factors as we count down the playoff drive, injuries and a number of other things. And, of course, we mentioned the All-Star weekend, and this gentleman's joined us before a number of occasions, and he started kind of his own All-Star skills format type goal in an actual OHL hockey game on a Friday evening. Max Domi of the London Knights and, of course, a first-round pick of the Arizona Coyotes, joining Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison on Hockey Central at noon. Hey, Max, thanks very much for joining us. And obviously, as we said, was the skills competition part of your motivation for you bringing out one of your best highlight reel goals on Friday?
No, I don't know. I was just pretty lucky, I guess. I don't know really what really happened, but the goalie came out and the puck was there, so I just slipped it over him.
Do you practice those things? Do you play around in practice?
I've never really practiced that, to be honest, but ever since I've been a little kid, I've been a pretty big fan of those highlight reel goals, and I watched them all on YouTube and practiced them in the garage when I was a younger kid. So, I mean, in practice, you try stuff like that just for fun, to have fun with the boys, but, it never really happens in a game, and it's tough to do that in a game, but you just got to get lucky.
Obviously, you were busy on Friday, but I'm wondering in general if you had a time to watch the All-Star weekend and what you thought of it. And then, you know, maybe some people are debating the format on a Sunday, that you could have the under-25s against the over-25s or something like that. Is there something that you think might work a little bit better in divvying up the teams?
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch the games. We had games. We had a 3-3 this weekend, so we were pretty busy with that. But I saw the highlights and stuff yesterday, and it was pretty cool. And obviously, there's a lot of skill, and those guys have fun with it. So it's fun to watch, and it's really exciting. But, as far as I'm concerned, the format right now is pretty cool, and it's fun to watch. So I can't complain with that.
How's this season been for you, Max? I mean, when you get drafted, everybody wants to be on the fast forward and get to the NHL and get playing, and you get sent back in a couple of seasons of junior. How tough is that to deal with, and how difficult is it to perhaps remain patient and focus on what you have to do to get there?
Well, you know, it's a process for sure, and you can't just blink your eye and be in the NHL all of a sudden. It's not easy to do, and there's so many great hockey players out there that are all at different stages of the process, and everyone's different for sure. So for me, I'm just coming back to London here and trying to work hard and be a good teammate and try and lead this younger team as far as we can, and just having fun every day with my last year of junior hockey. So just enjoying it and seeing how far we can go here and then going from there.
You've had a couple of weeks for it to settle in, and you look back now, the World Junior experience, about that, playing in it, winning it, and being one of the higher profile players.
Yeah, that experience, it talks for itself. To win a gold medal and be able to represent your country, in Canada is pretty special, and that's a dream come true for all of us, and it's a pretty special group of guys. So it's an experience that I'll remember for the rest of my life, and it was awesome to be a part of.
Now, taking a look as well, I'm wondering, okay, Scott had asked you about going back and playing junior, and you want to be on the fast track. If somebody called you next year, a first-round pick that has aspirations playing in the NHL but is sent back to junior, what would you tell the kid, the young man, about it, that are the benefits?
Probably the same thing that Dave Tippett told me when I got sent back after training camp this year. It was just to treat every single day like you're in the NHL. Even though you're in junior, and that's the best way of getting better every day, and that's the fastest way of getting the NHL. So it's tough to do, and it sucks being sent back and experiencing some adversity in that sense, but it makes you a better player and a better person in the long run. So, 1 year, 2 years of your life isn't much to give up when hopefully you can have a long career in the NHL.
Mindset always is to win the Memorial Cup. I'm wondering as well, though, that a consolation that you likely would go up and play with Arizona. Does that make things a little bit different, that you do seemingly have that fallback if it's a disappointing finish?
Yeah, well, we want to win the Memorial Cup, and I've been fortunate enough to be a part of three pretty special teams, and we haven't won one yet, but I've been in three of them, so come a long way in that sense, and I'd love to win one this year, and obviously it's not easy to do by any means, but we have a great team in London, so I mean, we're just going to take it day by day here and go from there.
20 goals, 66 points so far in just 35 games, so great season. Keep it going. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Max Domi of the London Knights, also with the Arizona Coyotes.
Boy, did he ever have a tremendous World Junior tournament. Boy, he couldn't help but be impressed, the skill set and how hard he worked. And I think that was one of the things about that junior team that made it very special, is that the veteran players were their hardest working players and really set the tone early in that tournament. And because you think about all the focus on McDavid and how great he was, but the likes of the Domies and a few others really stepped up and were outstanding.
Yeah, Lazar as well. And a few guys, you know, and it was great they bent but didn't break this time, because it had that kind of heebie-jeebie feeling for a little while. You know, you look at that goal he scored last Friday, and when you see it, you really realize it's a highlight reel goal, but it wasn't a selfish hot dog goal, because he was reacting to a goaltender making the charge. And
He had to get the puck around him. And for those who aren't watching on television, the goalie comes sliding out. He somehow manages to flip the puck up and over the goalie. It comes down, and he taps it out of the air and puts it in the open net. So it was the hand-eye coordination, thinking that quickly to come up with a move like that and then be able to execute on the fly. Because we were watching the guys on Friday night in the skills competition, and it's one thing to do it when you're not being chased by a defender and you don't have a goalie sliding out in front of you. And for him to pull that off in game action is just, it was an amazing play. It
looks like Max Domi would be a guy you draft on your lacrosse team and your baseball team as well.
Exactly.
Phenomenal hand-eye coordination. And I do wonder if, of course, the Arizona Coyotes, I always like leaving guys in junior. I think Steve Yzerman showed that with Drew and the year before last about making that decision early on. I do wonder, they're not used to having disappointing seasons. And in hindsight, they wonder, this guy might have been ready and could have been a difference maker for a team that really values playoff revenues.
Well, no question. And, you know, from the Arizona perspective, you want to make sure, and, you know, we've talked about it many times and lived through it in the 80s with young players coming up and playing on struggling teams, and how that can sometimes have such a negative impact on a player's career. And it's a real challenge to see how they deal with it. And, you know, maybe it's a better situation that with Arizona going through what it's going through, that he's in a better place being able to go and play in a World Junior and star the way he did and have the impact that he had on that team and that tournament. And then to be able to play with the London Knights and continue to develop in a really good situation with a, you know, excellent team and well-coached and all the rest of it. And the other part, Gord, is, as you've seen over the years, sometimes young kids go back and they don't go back with the right attitude. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a negative experience because they make it a negative experience, that they don't embrace the challenge. And, you know, as Max talked about, Don Maloney says, don't play every day like it's an NHL day, that you're approaching it that way. And give the kid credit, because he's shown a tremendous amount of maturity this year and has embraced that challenge and responded and probably developed as a player as a result.
Well, when we talk about Max Domi a little bit and some of the skills he's had, when we chat about the All-Star Weekend and seeing all the talent out there, I know quite often there's way back when I worked with the New York Rangers, the Bernie Nichols trade was made between the Rangers and Los Angeles Kings over the All-Star Weekend, and it used to be a time to get together and maybe put a few deals in place, elevated a level or two. And, you know, Phil Kessel was a guy that he really seemed, again, very comfortable chatting, which he normally doesn't do a lot of media-wise, reiterated that he wants to be a Toronto Maple Leaf and saying all the right things. I am curious, as we get back and the LA Kings put Mike Richards on waivers, we talk more trades, and you wonder, 10 months after Brendan Shanahan or 9 months after Brendan Shanahan and company has taken over, what they look at a team that has really slid right out of the playoff picture so far, and whether they're looking at making radical things or just some quiet little things.
Well, whatever they do has to be, to me, with an eye to the future, not an eye to trying to get into the playoffs. Because I think the worst thing that can happen from this organization right now, you don't like being in a free fall, but the worst thing is to finish ninth and be drafting in the middle of the pack and just not be good enough to get there, but be good enough to stay sort of in the hunt and not be able to get a real good pick and start to turn that corner in terms of developing your team that way. I think maybe where they are right now, you know, it's a statement that we've seen over the years of how this team has fallen apart, for lack of a better description, that you know what you've got now. And so the research phase should be over, and I think you have to make a determination of who amongst your core group you move out and allow yourself some freedom from an economic standpoint and then from a draft and development standpoint to start to turn in a different direction. Don't you agree?
Well, I do in that sense. I mean, I look back that 4 years ago was Brian Burke, 3 years ago was Dave Nonis, 2 years ago, Tim Leiwicki.
And different coaches.
Brendan Shanahan, different coaches, different assistant GMs, lots of different pieces there. So if you're a fan of that team, you kind of get tired about, well, how long do you keep evaluating? And when people talk about, for any team, the teardown, thinking let's do it right this time, and that's going to mean something like where the Kings are, the Blackhawks are, and the Boston Bruins are, it doesn't mean that. You know, you see a lot of teams like Calgary retooling on the fly, Florida Panthers, what Dale Tallon's done, retooling on the fly.
But they've also had some struggles along the way. It's not like they were playoff team. Well, Florida was a couple of years ago, but prior to that, they weren't. But a lot of those teams had pain. Calgary had pain. Even though they're retooling on the fly, they haven't had to go into this season and say, okay, we're going to take it right down because some of the younger players develop. But so my point being is that when you look back over at a Chicago, that was an 8-year rebuild before it really kicked in, and a couple of really superb drafts to get them over the
hump. Well, Toronto's kind of been an 8-year rebuild.
It has, but they've been a middle-of-the-pack team as opposed to going down to the bottom.
Well, the one time they were down the bottom, the draft pick went somewhere else. I mean,
yes.
You also got a team that you look, and never mind a Steen on St. Louis and a Rask on Boston, even a Yuri Talusti on Carolina. That was one of your first-round picks that I think in all cases they went for nothing. Nothing that's back on the organizational side nowadays. So that certainly is, you know, I wonder how many teams now, the Connor McDavid situation. Tom Fergus, I work with him on the weekend. His son TJ plays with Connor McDavid in Erie. And Fergie tries to be not over the top about it, but he can't rave enough about, and he honestly says, this guy skates like Bobby Orr. Fergie played with the Boston Bruins.
I heard you talking.
He goes, I got some old videos about 6 months ago showing Bobby Orr in his prime. Pretty heady praise, to say the least. So now you can't bona fide just tank it. And it still doesn't guarantee you that number one overall pick. But it's the team that gets this guy is far better off, as you say, than the teams that come ninth or tenth in their conferences.
Oh, guaranteed. I mean, and those top two, three, four, five, whatever the picks are. The story that I really enjoyed listening to you and Fergie yesterday was when he talked about his wife calling to say, how did TJ play today? And he says, I don't know. I didn't watch.
I couldn't take
my eyes off Connor McDavid because he was so good. But once you watch the kid, you get it.
Yeah.
You understand how that could happen.
He's mesmerizing that way. And like you said, he goes, I'm embellishing it a bit because I don't want my kid to feel bad in that. But certainly that is something down the road, a great prize for whoever does come dead last, whoever wins him on the lottery side.
So what do you think of the races? We start the unofficial second half of the season or the stretch drive of the season. What do you think of the races right now?
Well, we say the same thing every year, like especially in the West, how tight it is in the three-point games, and it really is no surprise. Like it's almost like you're playing for a playoff spot. You know, it's like 82 games is a playoff for so many guys. And then you look at some other teams. I mean, a team that's really impressed me, for example, and has flip-flopped with the Toronto Maple Leafs would be a team like the Washington Capitals. You know, they got their act together. And just when you least expect them maybe to do any damage, maybe they will this year. You know, that's the kind of thing. The Boston Bruins, I always look, are going to be there. Any hope of them being the ninth team in the East, I'm sorry. And they've picked up their game of late. And I know Jacobs is kind of the owner, has fired a few volleys that way, but they're going to be
fine.
Well,
that was a turning point because they've responded since he made his statements about how pathetic he thought the season was and how heads were going to roll on and off the ice if they didn't get their act together. And they're 6-1-3 in their last 10. And we were talking about it going into the break, that that's the one team that would scare me down the stretch.
Well, we'll find out more as we, of course, trade deadline. Is there a Marian Gabrick-type trade that benefits a team like the LA Kings and much, much more? Darren Millard will be back tomorrow with Nick Kyprios and Doug McLean, all scheduled to be back here and talk about their weekend in Columbus and getting back to Toronto, which I guess is a plus. Some people still stuck there weather-wise. But a great show put on by the organization and the city. We look forward to more NHL action. You've been listening to Hockey Central at Noon. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, you're watching on Sportsnet, listening on the Sportsnet Radio Network, and in the United States on the NHL Network.